The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
What does everybody want?
Cookie Puss.
What does everybody need?
Cookie Puss.
What does everybody love?
Cookie Puss.
Here's some ice cream cakes that only Carvel makes. They're made fresh every day, 'cause that's the Carvel way. And while you're at the store, see Cookie Puss some more.
Your participating Carvel dealer also has Hug Me the Bear and Cookie Puss dolls. You'll love them. Thank you.
Fudgy. This is yet another cry from the wrestlers. We want ice cream, even if it's going to ruin our diets. But unfortunately, snacks will have to wait. We are here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a few of the usual suspects from all around the globe to assist me this evening. So I'm going to start the furthest away, Mr. Shane Beeman.
Hey, good day. How's it going?
Let's see. And then we get a little bit closer to our friends in the great, maybe white north, Trista Timpson.
Kind of browny north right now. We had a lot of snow, and now it's melting.
Okay. And finally, the man who knows it in Fahrenheit and Celsius, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Indeed. It's currently about, say, 50 degrees outside here in Ohio. But in Celsius, I think that's somewhere around 8.
Meanwhile, up here, it is probably 8 Fahrenheit outside, which translates into negative numbers on Celsius. I'm not here to discuss negatives. The numbers I'm going to bring up first is something that I did not get to do on the New Year's show, and that is our final ratings for the Pick'ems. And Statboy, thank you for sending them to me, and I apologize if I ignored them.
Actually, you didn't last week. I just didn't get them in on time. Unfortunately for everyone involved, though, WrestleMania Pick'ems were lost to the seas of time thanks to VRM. Stop getting your computer formatted.
So, what was done, and what I asked Statboy to do, is to go ahead and rank everybody based on if you did Pick'ems for at least, what was it, 6 of the shows?
6 pay-per-views.
If you had participated in at least 6 Pick'ems, you were put in the running to see who had the highest percentage on Pick'ems. So Super Oprah is automatically disqualified, otherwise she would trump us all.
Mm-hmm.
So, those that are qualified for this are, let's see, here's the full list. Myself, Statboy, Shane, VRM, Forth, Jason Block, Ethan Muslin, Jim Williams, Chief High Muckety Muck, Typho, and Tyler Brown. So, Jim decided to sabotage his numbers, but surprisingly, he is not at the bottom of the pile.
Not even close.
No. And, Trista, you really should jump into these. These are a lot of fun to do. Seriously.
Maybe this year.
Okay. Well, you know, just all you gotta do is, do you still have your Facebook? Okay, just drop them off at the NAWC page, and we'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Despite Jim sabotaging his numbers, it is Ethan who is all the way at the bottom with an average of just under 40% for the year.
Yeah, he had some absolute bombers.
And our other big bomber was Jason, right at 40%, which I'm sure he's kicking himself right now, although I'm thinking his cold is kicking his ass pretty hard right now. That's why we have your microphone. Why you have your microphone. You have your microphone muted, Jason, because we don't want you sneezing into it and getting us all sick. VRM is next at 45.6. Jim at 47.7%. Fourth is actually fifth from the bottom at 48.9. High Muckamuck actually broke the 50% barrier this year at 52.9. Tyler Brown and Stat Boy, you guys are neck and neck.
Yep,
Tyler Brown, go ahead.
Oh, and because of this, well, you do not have a repeat champion in the Pick'ems, because last year I barely beat Tyler for the crown.
This is true. This is true. So the top three numbers are over 55%.
56 even.
Yes. But the point is that WWE's got to work a little harder to be a little more unpredictable for us. So, in third place for the year, the current superhero in training, I mean wrestler in training, Typho, at 56.60%. We're going to two decimal places because I beat him at 56.62%. However, despite my late run and holding the Fizzleweight Champion at the end of the year through my TLC Pick'ems, it did not save me. So, the 2012 overall Pick'ems Champion, to which we give this shiny silver trophy, I am going to have to spend more money than I did for purchasing it to get it shipped to its proper champion, with a Pick'ems percentage of 58.7%. I present this trophy to Shane Beeman.
Well, you see, you've got a pick here, then a ums, pick ums, then you got a cha, as in cha-cha-cha, the MP military police, and then an ion, champ. Ion, champion. Pick'ems, champion.
Oh, thanks a lot for that. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, except for I agree with Nikki, WWE needs to learn to be a bit more unpredictable. But other than that...
let's just say this. They threw my predictions right out the window, to some degree.
But... The good news is that it's not like we've got guys with 70, 80, 90% prediction numbers, which would be awesome, but would be counterproductive to the anything can happen in WWE.
Indeed. Let me find last year's Pick'ems just to see where we have went from there.
Okay. I will let you calculate. I'm going to... push ahead a little bit here.
While somebody dies in the background.
What I hear, Narf?
No, do try to ignore that.
I'll try. Let's see, what was I digging around for? Oh, yes. The door to the WWE is open, and people are walking both in and out. Or, well, the axe is swinging a little bit. And Trista, I'm sorry, but they sent Trent Beretta home.
I honestly couldn't even pick him out of a lineup. Like, which one of these men assaulted you? If he was one of them, I wouldn't know which one he was.
Okay.
Where's Trent? Unfortunately, gone. Now out the door.
Trent is sadly out the door. The other release was Skylar Moon, which, Trista, what was the name you used off the air? Buggy?
Yeah, that was her indie name, was Buggy Nova.
Okay. And as far as I'm aware, if she had any time on TV, it was cameos.
NXT.
Thank you. So, unfortunately, she is out the door. I think what they're doing, you know, this has been a long time coming. We haven't had any releases just because of the expansion in TV. So, Shane, do you think they're going to let anybody else go?
Well, apparently, like with the expansion that's going on, they're apparently, we can expect it, according to sources, we can expect several more releases this weekend. I have no idea why WWE is doing this, especially with how much they're expanding with the product and everything else, but I guess Vince is sort of tightening the belt a little bit.
Which is interesting because the, is this confirmed? Does anybody have confirmation that we're going to be singing Olé in a WWE venue sometime?
Not completely. There have been reports from the Melts that, El Generico has more or less abandoned all of his his commitments, save for PWG's next show. But I don't know how much to believe into that.
Well, I hope he doesn't drop his dates, because that's kind of what cost Claudio the first time they tried to sign him. He dropped everything, and Vince was like, no. You know, you should have honored all that before I picked you up. I would have waited. So, yeah. You know, I'm hoping that Mr. Cesaro gets on the phone, since he does speak fluent Spanish and Generico really doesn't, and call him and tell him, no. But the other thing they might be doing is they might be freeing up money so that they can do some signing of talent that they feel they can use. And or, you know, talent that's a little more ready for TV. Let's see. Okay, something just hit my list. Okay, oh, Generico is not signed. He is undergoing his physical testing and will be signed if he passes. So they handed him a cup and said, sign this first. Because this is delay. This is what, you know, this is what happened with Danielson. This is what happened with Hero. This is what happened with Nigel. That they weren't passing the physical part of it. So they want to get all of that out of the way, then you can sign on the dotted line. So while we're waiting for that, Shane, can you think of a couple more people that they'll probably swing the axe at?
Do you think people I think deserve the axe at the moment?
Well, it's either one way or the other. Is it people that need to go or people that you think they're going to let go?
People that I think need to be let go, and it's with all due respect to them, but Carly needs to go. Hornswoggle needs to go. Tyson Kidd. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you're not gonna use the poor guy on main event rostering, then just please let the poor guy go.
Oh, Shane, I don't know what? If you've heard, but he's got
I know that, but yeah. that's what I'm saying though. Like before then, they were barely like using him on primetime TV. It's like Punk said this past week on Raw. Like friggin' little, like an invisible person's getting more airtime than Tyson Kidd is.
So well, Kali's
guy if they're not going to get used.
I agree. Now, unfortunately, they're not going to let Kali go for 1 billion reasons.
Huh, I got it.
The Indian population.
Precisely. That's the foothold that they need. Hornswoggle pleases the kiddies. Remember, remember who they're aiming for here. Tyson Kidd, now that he practically does not have a knee, I would hope that WWE wouldn't release him. I would hope that they would stay on his side through his recovery and then give him the push that he deserves when he returns about this time next year. So, Trista, I'm going to come to you. Can you think of a few people you think they'll let go?
I think I'm kind of in the same boat as Shane in that I can think of people that I want to see let go, but then who they are going to let go are probably two different lists. But with that being said, I think Rosa should go because she's not good for wrestling.
No, I'll agree with that. Go on.
I think Zack Ryder should go.
Ooh.
Now, between you and Stat Boy are both saying that. Why does Zack Ryder need to be released? I'm baffled.
More along the lines of he's getting rather surly. The good news is he just finished his Z-Trillion story. The last episode aired today. That episode kind of, sort of, was hinting at it. I would not be surprised if he is finally let go. Mainly because, well, yeah. I don't know what to say.
With Zack Ryder, the thing is that part of wrestling is having to be a good actor. And I'm not saying by any means that the people currently employed with WWE are amazing actors, because they are definitely not. But everyone just makes Zack Ryder look so bad. Like the whole thing with Eve and Cena. And when he saw them kissing, did you really believe that he was shocked?
He looked more disgusted than anything else. So, but that's just as reasonable an emotion to watch John Cena kissing anybody.
I get jealous. But anyways. Whatever, right?
There you go.
Ryder too, though, they have done everything that they could with him. He wanted a mid-card title. They gave him a mid-card title. They gave him merchandise. They gave him a match in Long Island. They've done everything that they could probably with him. Mm-hmm. And he's accomplished probably most of his wrestling goals in life. I can't remember if he's wrestled at a WrestleMania or not.
Yeah. He wrestled last WrestleMania.
Whatever.
Well, that's right. He was in the Team Johnny Team Teddy match, wasn't he?
He got his nads kicked.
There. Yeah. He's done everything. Sorry, I really don't care about Zack Ryder anymore.
No. It's fine. I've got the roster book in front of me, and I'm going in the back to the jobbers page. And with Trent gone,
there's even one that I can think of that can more or less say, yeah, he's pretty much done. And that's, unfortunately, Big Zeke.
You think they're going to... Well, I know he's been grumbling a bit on Twitter, but do you really think they're just going to drop him?
There's a slight possibility that I can think of, mainly because Big Zeke, well, he's just been kind of stuck in jobberland. Because after all, he big, he's strong, but Zeke ain't got no cuts.
Let's see. In front of me, there's a couple other people I think that are probably going to get the boot. JTG, who they use once in a very blue moon, and he does not look like he cares anymore. He really does.
Watch as he stays hired, and we still have to more or less endure JTG, still employed.
Hey, it's a website.
Yes.
There's a clock, and it's counting how long JTG's been employed with WWE. It's awesome.
Let me see if I can bring that up.
Oh, for crying out loud. Let's see. Okay, I'm looking at your list, Shane. That's not a bad list because Yoshitatsu, they haven't used much. Oksana cannot wrestle. Zeke, you know, Stat Boy made a point. Camacho, Hunico and Camacho, they haven't brought back to TV, even though Hunico's healthy. Otunga, they're not going to let go until Jennifer Hudson sings at a WrestleMania.
I can see that.
Hi Muckamuck suggests Tensai. They're probably going to keep Tensai.
As comedy.
Well, no, they're going to keep him as giant jobber.
I'll tell you what, let's just do everybody a favor, man. Get rid of this Tensai gimmick, just bring back A-Train. Everyone knows it. It's the Tensai gimmick that's killed him.
The Tensai gimmick is ruling the Tensai gimmick.
It really has.
Let's see. Going through the book, Curt Hawkins is not going to lose his job because they can use him in a trainer role. Mm-hmm. Derek Bateman has all kinds of personality and they won't use him. I think Fandango's not going to see the light of day because we haven't seen any promos for that in the last two or three weeks.
You missed last Monday.
Did I?
Yeah, he had a promo.
Let's see. Zeke, you guys got a point. I think Riley's out the door. They haven't decided if they want to put him back on TV or not.
He's on his way back, as apparently I know he just wrestled recently in NXT, so he's healthy again. Same deal with Mason Ryan, too.
I'm hoping they don't let him go. I realize that he's not very good on the mic, but you can't let Batiste 2 go.
Not until you give him a main event push.
I won't let him go. I'll just say get rid of that ridiculous slicked back hairstyle you've got and just get a buzz cut or something, please.
No. The hair's awesome. I think he looks good with hair. I think Batista looked good with hair.
Batista did look good with hair.
He looked 10 years younger with hair.
Yeah. He didn't look like a man in his 40s when he left, or back then.
Grandfather.
Yeah, he looked like Grandpa Batista. Then again, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ted Jr., to management, shit or get off the pot, please. Just decide what you're going to do with him.
Yeah.
Like I said, Otunga's not going anywhere. Jack Swagger might be on the bubble.
Oh, yeah. I'd fire Jack Swagger.
Not until he comes back from Mars.
Let's see. They're not going to let Truth go. They're not going to let Alicia Fox go. Let's see. Kelly Kelly's already gone.
Hallelujah.
They're not let Santana Marilla go.
No, by no means. And I'm getting back up in the front of the book with people that are not going anywhere, so... And then, of course, I'm sure the other thing with these releases, like I said, they're going to be putting money down to get people to show up, at the Royal Rumble, and for next Monday, which is where they're going to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the longest-running weekly episodic television show in history.
I thought it was the longest weekly episodic whatever the... fuck, I ruined it.
Regardless, we're going to get a bunch of big names and faces to show up and talk about the history of Raw. I'm hoping that this will be better than the 10th anniversary. The 15th was very good. The 10th was a disaster just because they couldn't get anybody. And the only thing I remember from that show, Trista, is Hunter mooning Stephanie on the stage, and she just looked at his ass and slapped it.
Yeah, that was a bad moment.
I don't know. Hunter's got a nice ass. Anyway, but that's not how you want to remember a show.
No.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm trying to remember what 15 was, because wasn't the main of the main portion the McMahon family picture?
That was hilarious.
But that was fun, and that was funny.
Yeah.
What they were trying to do at Raw 10, at the Raw X show, I believe is what they called it.
Yes.
They were actually trying to do the Oscars, and it was just, they couldn't get Austin. Rock did a video package, and they advertised it like he was actually going to be there. I don't think Foley made it. There were two or three other people they needed that didn't show up, so it was It was a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But hang on, in saying that, isn't that what they've been doing for, like, years with Rock? Like, The Rock will be returning next week. Oh, we've got to mention via satellite.
Well, that happened a lot through his feud with Cena last year. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But now we expect it from The Rock, too.
True. Although, now he's actually here. And next Monday, he's going to show up with his guitar.
Oh. Oh, Christ, no.
Yes, Stat Boy. A rock concert.
I actually heard Ric Flair's going to return next week to confront CM Punk. I don't know why.
Well, it's more or less to bookend the 20 years, because remember, main event of first Raw was Flair Perfect Loser Leaves Town match.
I thought the main event was The Undertaker against the...
Oh, right. Was thinking of the first actual real main event instead of Taker versus come on and see Damian Demento. See.
That's
God damn it, Artie.
Let's see. What was I going to do? Oh, yes. So, I wish Jim was on. Because I would rather, if we're going to hear a rock concert, let's just play this underneath it. Okay, that's enough of that.
Yodely guy, where are you?
So while we were going through all that, we did mention Tyson Kidd, and I am sad for him. I'm also kind of sad for Justin Gabriel, because this was the only way we were getting Justin Gabriel on my TV, was when he was paired with Tyson Kidd. Now that Kidd's knee is pieces.
Ugh.
Bits and bits and bits and bits and bits. Broken knee, torn ACL.
He's we'll see out it. For a
yeah.
year.
Yeah. We'll see him
at the Rumble next year.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see it. We'll make if he can stay employed, we'll see him at the 2014 Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find him on Facebook. He goes under TJ Wilson. Send your best wishes. Send him pictures. Let him know that we miss him. What else have I got? Well, one of the neat things we saw on Raw this week was the, I won't say return, but an appearance by Ricky Steamboat. It's nice to know that he's healthy, Shane.
Oh yeah, indeed. Although Ricky's always been in physical condition, like he's probably one of, like, out of all the Hall of Famers, probably the only guy I think that could actually come back and do a few shows a week, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Well, Trista, I think he's got an ulterior motive.
Do you think he's trying to bring his son up? Woo! Richie Steamboat!
I think because the only reason that he's not doing, he's probably not going to be doing any in-ring stuff, Shane, is because when he got laid out by Nexus back in 2010, something else had gone wrong, and he actually ended up in the hospital for a little while. It wasn't anything the Nexus did, but he,
I don't,
you know,
remember this. What happened?
That's what I gotta look this up.
Yeah, I remember. It didn't. I can't remember. I can't remember if he had a stroke or a panic attack or something. I can't remember.
It was a slight stroke, from what I remember.
I don't remember it being that severe. I thought he like broke his arm or something.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't quite. It wasn't bad, but it was bad enough that he was, you know, he was pretty much out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Steamboat had felt legitimate pain in his neck and shoulders, and as a result, was hospitalized. It doesn't. Unfortunately, the site I'm using, Wikipedia, who is always right, decided not to tell us exactly why he was in the hospital, but he had had. He had been jumped by the Nexus, and they were kayfabing his injuries, but he was actually hurt. It was a little more serious than they thought. They put him in the hospital for a little while. And I just remember we were sweating that for a bit. Similar to the Lawler situation, this is probably why we will... Unfortunately, we probably won't see Ricky in the ring, and all of his bantering with Mr. Barrett will lead to Richie getting on TV.
So pretty much we're revamping the whole Dusty Rhodes and Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton situation.
Something to that effect. And go ahead.
And which for those that don't, all those that don't remember, with Randy Orton had a feud with Dusty Rhodes, which led to Cody slapping Randy and led to Cody getting on TV.
Okay, somebody did the homework. Steamboat had had a mild stroke. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be doing anything in ring. But, Trista, you sounded very interested in Richie Steamboat on your TV.
I am very interested in Richie Steamboat on my TV.
And since we haven't had you on the show in a while, how high were you bouncing when you found out Seth Rollins was on your TV?
Well, first, I have to tell you, you spoiled it for me.
I was going
to download Survivor Series the next day and avoid all spoilers, and I think you came online at like 11:01 that night, and that happened. So, I was very excited, and then I was excited to see Ambrose, because I saw him live once and I really enjoyed him. And then I saw Roman Reigns, and I really, really enjoy Roman Reigns. So I'm a big fan of The Shield right now. I believe in The Shield.
I believe in them too, especially since they do me the favor and beat up Randy Orton on a regular basis.
I'm all for beating up Randy Orton, so I love it.
You weren't on this particular show, but Statboy might remember this line that... Yes, I do like Randy Orton. Under Dean Ambrose's boot.
Thank you, God. I was about to say.
So, this has been wonderful. You know, I'm very excited to hear that, you know, we have a shot at getting Richie on TV. Hopefully, either before the Rumble or right after the Rumble, and find him something to do. Him and Barrett should match up nicely. Shield prowling around. Now that I think about it, Shane, do you think the Shield will just try to get into the Rumble, or should they just jump? They should just sabotage, do the sabotage spots.
Oh my God, yes.
They'd have to put them in the Rumble, surely. I mean, like, let's be perfectly honest here. Like, they don't really have much talent there at the moment that they can utilize for this friggin' Rumble, so that's why you see so many main stars going into it. So why not put the Shield in there? Because if Orton's going to be in there, you have to have the Shield kicking the crap out of him.
Yes, that would be very nice. But see, this is the thing. Do we make it... Do we find some way that they officially get in the Rumble? Or do they do... We get this spot every other year or so where somebody gets jumped backstage.
Ooh,
and they replaces them.
I just had this awesome idea.
Ooh, there we go. What was your idea, Trista?
When they have the countdown going on, the shield should enter then. So, like, you're waiting, like, your minute and a half or whatever it is, and then with, like, 47 seconds left, like, when there's still time, they just enter in from the crowd. And then just, like, sabotage it. That's the word I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. I'd like that. And Shane's idea isn't bad either, that all 3MB gets jumped backstage and the shield takes all their places. But I want to see Slater go flying over the rope and, you know, destroy the Spanish announce table, because I think he could actually get thrown that far.
Roman Reigns could throw him that far. He's impressive.
He is. And he got his good looks from one side of the family, and he's got that. And I realize he hasn't smiled yet.
Doesn't have to.
No.
Not at all.
No.
The man is perfect.
So, gentlemen,
I couldn't hear who Trista was talking about. It sounds like she's whispering. Like.
Sorry, I was getting a piece of gum, so my computer was far away. I'm back.
She and I are gushing over Roman Reigns. Don't mind us.
Oy.
Just wait till the.
It's a new fangirl crush. It's a new fanboy crush too, from what I understand. So.
Oh, even the boys want him?
That's what I've been reading. Ooh. Can't blame these guys.
He's a hell of a view. Ambrose is a hell of a view. Rollins is a hell of a view. Now let's get them to take those flak jackets off and, you know, get an even better, even closer look.
I agree.
What
do you think, guys?
Yeah, notice all the guys here is like, not touching that.
Not worth the time for a poem. Nope.
Okay, let's talk about Caitlin and Eve for a bit then.
Do we have
Caitlin, maybe Eve, and I don't want to get choked out by a Gracie. Thank you very much.
Forget Caitlin and Eve. Bring Paige from NXT on some more WWE TV.
Oh my goodness.
Trista, I am obligated to play a sound for these guys.
Okay.
Oh, suck it, duck it, quack, quack!
Indeed.
So see?
And that was for Paige.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
See, we can say that the gals are pretty. Why can't you say guys are pretty?
I love Caitlin. I think she's gorgeous.
And Caitlin's awesome in person. I've had the honor of finally meeting her this past fall. Let's see, what else have I got on my handy-dandy list? That, and that. Ah, yes. One of the epicness of Raw this week was promo for promo, the ultimate mic duel, The Rock versus CM Punk.
Ooh.
It was fun watching them banter back and forth, Stat Boy, mainly because Punk was going to make Rock earn it.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think he did a little bit more than just earn it. He pretty much owned Rock. Because Rock had to resort to his normal name-calling and childishness to get over. Yes, he had the crowd in the palm of his hand, but there's something that's just a little bit off yet. And it's mainly Rock.
But, to his credit, and I know you noticed this, Shane, that Rock still broke out the catchphrases, but he had to rewire them, for lack of a better term.
Oh, and they, I did agree with what CM Punk said. Like, yes, Rock does the same old shtick, but then again, so do a lot of people. But the difference between them and Rock is, at least Rock can revamp it and do something different with it. I mean, when he brought out Cookie Puss, I was pissing myself laughing. That was just brilliant.
Am I the only one who facepalmed then? Because it's not ringing with me. And I grew up with Carvel.
you're wearing the same crown, Nikki, because that was more or less the one part. Candygram.
Banana phone.
That was the one part of the promo that was like, dude, not this again, unless CM Punk winds up being the face of Cookie Puss next year, earning him millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars.
Millions and millions of dollars?
Millions of dollars.
No. Millions and millions of dollars in CM Punk's pocket.
As if kind he of, needs more.
Because, I don't know, was this reported last week about Cena getting on the box of Fruity Pebbles with Bam Bam?
No, that broke out. That broke after we recorded. So yeah, I will talk about that. The Rock is forcing it this year. I mean, the Fruity Pebbles thing was just seamless in his promos. Now you guys know that I'm not. You know, I'm kind of on the fence when it comes to Rock, but the Fruity Pebbles thing fit. It took off. Cena even did his own, thing with it, actually eating a bowl of Fruity Pebbles on Raw television, and he got the endorsement. So they're bringing it back.
Thanks, Rock.
Yeah, you know, thanks, Rock. You know, do I owe you 10% for this or something? So they're doing another round of this with instead of taking his picture to make it look more like a Wheaties box, they actually drew Mr. Cena. And they actually had to do market research to figure out that kids just don't identify with Fred Flintstone anymore. Well, duh! Nobody runs Flintstones anymore. And how many people get Boomerang? I'm just saying.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, it's just the fact that, you know, what... The other thing that Post is doing with the Fruity Pebbles boxes is that they're putting different. They're going to put different Flintstones characters on there. For example, Cena's on the box with Bam Bam. Unfortunately, it's baby Bam Bam. I wanted teenage Bam Bam from the 70s series. Because he'd match up physically with Cena. It'd be a good match. Oh wait. Anyone? Anyone?
I don't know. I'm so confused.
Me as well.
Sorry, Nikki.
No, it's okay.
Where are you going with this punchline?
I want Cena versus Bam Bam at WrestleMania. It'll be better than anything else that they're planning on booking right now.
Wait a minute.
Bam Bam. Maybe we. Well, one, we still don't know who Taker's facing at Mania.
True.
That's been kept in the dark with very big secrecy. Unbelievable. And I really don't know. Like, the only other confirmed matches that I know of, and that's if he's back in time, is obviously they want to do Mysterio versus Sin Cara at Mania because Vince wants to do some stupid Guinness World Record for most masks worn in a sporting event or something.
That's kind of a cool idea.
It's weird, it's funky, and it's kind of cool, and Vince just likes his name plastered everywhere. So
also this true. Is
so the going rumor is that since it's pretty much going to be Punk, Cena, not Punk, Cena, Rock. It's probably going to be Cena and Rock at Mania, this
Twice
time for
in
the title.
Lifetime.
So, however, I'm going to play a great big ugly booking wild card.
Bring it on.
Stat Boy, this is why I have you here. I'm gonna book something, and I'd almost say kick me off the show if I'm right, because you all are gonna gag when I tell you this. Ziggler's gonna win the Rumble.
Nope.
Ooh.
Ziggler's going to have that Rumble He's going to use that Rumble win to cash in at Mania on the World Heavyweight Champion, whoever it may be. Because I'll have to talk about that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to use the Rumble shot for that. He's going to lose. Then he's going to brain the guy with the Money in the Bank briefcase and win. Because Cena doesn't need the Rumble or the briefcase. He just plays his superhero self through the chamber. Lol, Cena takes the belt off Rocket Mania.
You have it pretty much, I would say, about 80% right on the line. The only difference is Ziggler won't win the Rumble. Cena will.
Cena doesn't need the Rumble.
But he'll get it anyway.
Exactly. Like, I know, like, I agree with Nikki. Like, it'd be complete stupid for the writers to make Cena win the Rumble because, one, everybody knows that Cena would get a shot at Rock either way because all you have to do is come out and say, well, listen, I want a shot at the WWE Championship and I want to get revenge on you for beating me last year.
And I think he does that by winning a number one contendership in the Chamber.
Yes, of course, because we know the WWE title is not getting defended inside the Elimination Chamber this year.
Bingo. Now, for Punk, and I think, I forget who actually said this. You said it in an interesting way, Shane, that they're keeping Punk, the plans for Punk in the dark.
I don't think I said the plans for Punk in the dark. They're keeping plans for Taker in the dark.
Which, you know, that answers the question. Leave Punk in the dark and all he hears is,
who in the hell do you think you are?
Whoa.
True. But like I said, I don't know. I have this feeling. I don't know why. I just got this feeling that it's going to be a face that wins the Royal Rumble this year, and I have a feeling it's going to be Sheamus. Sheamus will win this year, and Del Rio will retain his title at Rumble. He'll go on to the Elimination Chamber. He'll probably retain there. Ziggler will come out, cash in Money in the Bank. He'll beat Del Rio, and then it will become a triple threat match with Sheamus, Del Rio, and Ziggler for the title.
How did you think of all that when the other night when we were talking about the Rumble, you didn't even know who was going to win?
I've had a couple of days to think about it. And that there's, you know me, my mind gets stuck on wrestling, and some people think that it's an obsession. By no means. I only have to deal with it 4 days a week. Monday,
I'm
Wednesday, Friday.
Ryback the Rumble.
Ryback winning the Rumble would be amazing, but I don't think he needs it either.
Yeah, he's had, three title shots in the past month or two?
And that TLC on Monday was fun.
Indeed. People were actually saying that they were very impressed with Ryback's performance in the TLC match.
That's because Ryback can work. I know Ryback can work, and they know Ryback can work, and... Gah!
May I have your attention, please? I just received the email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my HTC Evo V4G.
Ooh, pretty.
Yes, it is.
Yes, pretty.
Looking right through it right now, it does look very nice.
Let's see. Oh, look, there's a sound file on this.
Oh,
damn it, GM.
Jesus.
Generico did sign?
Olé.
No, that's not what he's olé-ing about. Nice of them to give away another title change on free TV. Should I be spending money on the Rumble?
Nope.
Doofus. Though you should discuss that title change and why WWE spoils it. Oh, that's right. Okay. That's something we are going to take a close look at, but right now let's just take a breather. The restrooms are open. Snacks are available. Stat boy, go wash your hands. We got to sell some soap.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Williamsware is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Hi, this is Steve Bryant. You might remember me from QVC, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Please tell me you remember me from QVC.
Help me, Mr. Popeye!
And we're back on the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman with Trista Timpson, Shane Beeman, and Stat Boy Josh Henniger. Now, for those of you who have been scratching their heads regarding our fine sponsors, I will let you know that, yes, we are back on track, and they are actually updating the site on a more regular basis. In fact, I'm pulling some news from it right now. We were joking earlier about the 20th for the 20th anniversary Raw that they were going to have a bunch of people coming in. The word is that the creative direction for Monday's Raw has been changed. They will not be bringing back any stars. They might bring in a few guys, but not, you know, it's not going to be a huge nostalgia parade. I don't know if I should be relieved or insulted, Shane.
Sorry, what was that?
The fact that they're not going to be bringing a whole bunch of the older stars back in for the 20th anniversary Raw.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard about that. The several stars that were apparently confirmed for the show have been called up by those in WWE and said, "Oh, well, we're going a different direction creatively, so you guys won't be needed." Which is rather stupid considering these poor guys actually cleared the dates on their schedule. But yeah, but apparently there's going to be some surprises coming up for the 20th anniversary of Raw, so we'll have to wait and see.
So, with that in mind, Trista, are you more excited about the show since they're not going to be dwelling as much on the past?
No. I'm going to treat it like I treat every other Raw and just watch it and form my opinion after I see it.
Atta girl.
That's how I do things.
No, that's fine. Stat Boy.
Yes.
Anybody you would like to see Monday?
Actually, I remember there being wild rumors of a certain guy coming back after about 2 years away. I seen him at his last actual show back in May 2010. You might remember the show I'm talking about. Because you were there?
I was there.
Yes.
But he quit.
Yes. He didn't get fired. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back for one night to reunite a group from 10 years ago.
Ooh.
Evolution is a mystery.
Actually, I'd pay some pretty good money to see that happen. If Dave shows up, and we know Rick can show up, he'd do it because he needs the money. So that's something, you know, I look forward to the show regardless of how they have it planned, although I do feel bad for the guys that are out of paycheck because they cleared their calendars and nope, we're not going to use you. I've been there, boys. Any worker's been there though. So Echo. Yeah, it's out there somewhere. The GM was dancing around before the break, and the reason he was celebrating was the fact that the reign of giants, that the Big Show has lost the World Heavyweight Championship to Alberto Del Rio. Now, fans that go to WWE.com discover that, Shane, they gave it away.
Yeah, they've actually, WWE's done something that I've rarely seen them do, and they've actually posted it online on their official page saying, Alberto Del Rio is your new World Heavyweight Champion, days before friggin' SmackDown aired.
Now, Stat Boy, you being an internetter of some merit.
Yes.
Is this wise on WWE's part? As in the fact that maybe they're just doing this to scoop the dirt sheets?
Well, it's more along the lines of they're trying to think, ooh, this might be good for ratings. when it's anything but. They've done this the last few times they've changed hands on SmackDown, the World Heavyweight title match.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been a... I've always felt while they're trying to do ratings bumps, they're more or less hurting themselves in the ratings because of this. We'll find out here, what, Sunday, whether or not they have.
But to that, wouldn't they rather just keep the dirt sheets from beating them to the punch?
Maybe, maybe not. Because remember, a whole lot of people, those out there who are the ones who don't follow the dirt sheets, the number threes and number fours mainly, if they don't, they, you know, they would feel absolutely slighted. It's like, why did he win? And just not tune in.
Shane, your thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, actually, the funny thing is, with what Josh just said, for those of you that have not actually seen the Twitterverse recently, Joey Styles actually came out himself and talked about this situation, because when one fan made a remark about it, saying it's because... why it all got brought up, one fan said, it's because they don't want the sheets to get... they don't want the sheets to spoil the information for you first. Joey Styles replied, and I kid you not, this was his actual reply to the fan, bingo! So take that as you will.
Trista, how do you feel about this?
I think in this case, Alberto Del Rio winning the title isn't that big of a deal. Simply because any other time they released a spoiler, I remember they did it when Kali won it, which was a terrible decision, but mostly because that has to do with Edge. And then I think they also did it, I think Kurt Angle won the World Heavyweight Championship one time, and they spoiled it on that. But the difference there is that Kali is a huge star in India, and Kurt Angle was a huge star in the world. I don't think Alberto Del Rio is anywhere near the star power of Kali, personally. I don't think them putting it on their website's gonna hurt. It was gonna come out on the sheets anyway, big deal. If you don't want to read a spoiler, don't click it. That's the end of that. But for them to just put it up on their website, I think it was a really stupid decision. So I don't think anyone cares that much about Del Rio.
No, I'm on the fence about them spoiling it. I mean, I understand that scooping the dirt sheets just to out of spite almost would be the only reason to do it. And the title change was well timed because of their location and because of the fact that they don't have Mysterio right now. For whatever reason it happens to be at this point, that they were doing something to appease the Latino audience. And they did it for them, quote-unquote, live and in person. And once word spread, they were hoping they would pop a rating. And while, you know, Del Rio's character is difficult to play as a face, he and Show put on a decent last man standing match, and I give extra points to the finish, where Show was floored behind the announce table, and then Del Rio flipped the table on him. And the celebration was almost as fun as one that they did sometime last year, where Ricardo ran around the ring with the microphone in his hand, screaming, "Del Rio, Del Rio, Del Rio!" That's all I could think of when they were celebrating. Is it a good idea? Maybe not. But we needed a face champion, because we've got a heel with a briefcase. And nobody not named Rock or John Cena is going to touch that belt for the next, you know, from from the Rumble on, mm-hmm. till probably Extreme Rules.
If not longer.
Which, you know, I know has got everybody bummed out, so I will bring in some good news. Hall of Fame inductions have begun.
Uh-huh.
They will make the formal announcement on Monday, but it has already leaked who our first inductee will be.
Oh, no, are we going to talk about it?
You don't want me to give it away?
I don't think so.
But that'll put butts in the seats.
Thanks, Nikki.
Do I have to stop there?
Yeah, I figured it out.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, please, WWE.com's already said who it is. Might as well go for it.
Cover your ears, Trista.
It's okay, I already figured it out.
Mrs. Foley's baby boy is going into the Hall of Fame. And what's making this even cooler is the fact that I believe one of the first shows he attended, the show that he always pegged as this is when I decided I wanted to do this for a living, was in the Garden. That's a hell of a bookend. I know I spoiled it for you, Trista, but that's a hell of a bookend.
It is.
Now, Shane, given Foley's appearances late last year, do you think the Hall of Fame bid was a carrot that they dangled out to him to get him to stick around for a little bit?
That would be a bit of a cop-out if it was, because that would just be saying, oh, well, we're just giving this to Foley because it's a bribe, not because he deserves it. But the fact is, he does deserve it. I mean, he's been in the business for what now? Like 20 years plus years?
Oh, yeah.
And he's done more to his body than any human being should ever have to do to themselves. I mean, to this day, people are still talking about him being thrown off a cell with the Undertaker. To this day. So, I personally think the man deserves it, and I'm just thankful that they've actually put it out for us that it's going to be Mick Foley that's going into the Hall of Fame and not Mankind, Dude Love, or Cactus Jack.
Well, no, they'll do four separate inductions.
Oh, if they did that, you'd be banging your head on the desk. You'd be like, oh, God.
No, actually, what I would like is that instead of having somebody represent Mick, is have them do a Three Faces of Foley video to congratulate Mick Foley.
Yeah, you can just imagine what those would be like. Mankind would do his normal poetry. Dude Love would do his peace stuff, and Cactus Jack would be like, what were you thinking when you came up with me, you sick bastard?
See? That would be perfect. That would be perfect. Statboy, you can see this, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. I've got nothing else.
No, it's fine. The, you know, with the Hall of Fame talk starting, of course, the name Bruno Sammartino has come up. Now, Punk's been using Sammartino's name because, you know, after all, he's still bragging about the fact that he's still the reigning and defending WWE champion. And the fact that Bruno Sammartino held the championship for 7 or 8 years. Now, Statboy, Punk had a point that Sammartino, you know, probably only defended his title once a month.
If that. And he usually wound up winning anyway.
To that, if we, instead of looking at calendar time, maybe we just need to add up defenses and see where Punk fits in here.
Yeah. That would be an interesting factor.
So there's your homework.
Oh, dear God. This is going to get insane real quick.
Well, you don't have to do it right now. I'm not asking for it for this show. There's no way.
Right.
Silly me. I need to go back to the Fruity Pebbles stuff for a second. Because there was something else that went with that article, and I have to talk about this because this is extremely funny. They were talking about the other possible... there were a couple of other possibilities of people that they were going to... companies that they wanted to get. And I lost my place. Essentially, they want to talk to a couple of other companies, and one of the other ones that came up was Irish Spring. And if they get that, we already know who has to be the representative.
Mm-hmm.
Fella. And we've already joked about this, and I kind of pestered Jim Williams that, you know, maybe at some point we should just do, you know, we should just make our own Irish Spring commercial. You know, when you spend an afternoon having to beat up a giant, you want to get that smell off of you. Nothing gets you that clean like Irish Spring. I'm never going to hear the end of this, am I?
Uh-huh.
Sorry, you're talking about American stuff here. I don't know.
Well, it's just that Irish Spring is a soap that's been sold in the States, and its classic commercials always had somebody with a very pronounced Irish accent talking about it. So, So they're gonna go get Seamus. They've got to get Seamus, and he has to do this commercial. So let me pull up that article. I think this is the article. Ah, I'm not going to dig through that. Okay, but you know, I had joked about this, and I think it's great. I hope they get it, and I would actually. But I would actually switch to Irish Spring soap if they do a commercial with Seamus. That has been recorded, so now I have to stick to it. There was something else I was supposed to talk about. And I keep getting distracted by Roman Reigns. Thank you, Trista.
Not a problem.
Okay, I don't think we're going to get any more releases while we are on the air. Actually, for fun, recently we had a click invasion at NXT, where Shawn Michaels is out there talking about the introduction of tag team titles for NXT. And the crowd starts chanting for Triple H. I hear Trista gagging in the background. So out comes the Evil Doc, short hair and all. Actually, he comes out for a second and he looks around and he's like 1 minute and then he walks to the back. DX music fires up and out he comes with X-Pac and Billy Gunn. And then while they're talking, the NWO theme cranks up and out walks Kevin Nash. So, you know, they're out there being doofuses, and the Hallelujah chorus kicks in and out walks Damian Sandow. And I'm like, oh no, here we go again. To which he enters the ring and demands silence! And protests the fact that he got clobbered by DX at Raw 1000 and demands an apology. Shane, do you think he could get an apology out of the click?
No, he couldn't get an apology out of the click, but what we did get was the usual DX comedy and pretty much 5 minutes of talking about Sean's bedazzled, arseless chaps.
Which, Trista, I almost didn't mind.
Assless chaps?
The fact that it was the funniest part of it was the fact that Sean kept defending it, and the fact that he felt that saying assless chaps was redundant because chaps don't have that part. That's why they're chaps and not pants.
I tell you, wrestlers are so smart. Like, you just can't get shit past them, you know? He's a smart guy, that Shawn Michaels.
It's nice to know something. Go ahead.
I think it wasn't Shawn that brought up that situation. It was the intellectual savior himself, Damien Sandow, that brought it up.
Oh, my
God. Wow, that just proves how smart wrestlers actually are.
But see, Sean corroborated that to the point that Hunter's like, now don't join his side, and starts pushing Sean back towards the click. But we all know how this ends. There is no way that Damien Sandow was going to be allowed to walk out of that ring.
Of course not.
He did not, since Nash was too lazy, X-Pac was probably not allowed. Billy Gunn didn't care, and Triple H promised. The only person that hurt Sandow was Sean.
Well, let's see. Nash wasn't going to lift up Damien Sandow for a jackknife because he didn't want to blow out his knee.
Right.
I have not seen Sean Waltman do an X Factor in ages.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Gunn doing a Fame Master, well, it's like, we see Dolph Ziggler do it every day, so it's not really any different. And then, of course, everyone's sick and tired of saying Triple H is retired, so he can't do pedigrees anymore. So, of course, you got to give it to Sean. Sweet chin music. That's it.
But Sean's retired, too.
Yeah, but Sean doesn't care. Triple H does. Or at least that's the way he plays it out. I'm all business now. So, Sean, up to you.
Kitty.
I was waiting for a repeat of Raw, actually, for them to give Billy Gunn the microphone. Like, if you're not down with that.
No, wait, you know. And go in and have Gunn and Sean argue about it again.
Oh God, no! I just want them to either give him straight the microphone and get it over with.
How about they like just don't put wasted, them on TV?
You already wasted 5 minutes of my life with bedazzled, arseless chaps talk.
You make this sound like a bad thing.
I know more now about arseless chaps than I wanted to know. Like. It was ridiculous, man. It was comedy gold, but it was like, oh. I'd much rather have Dr. Shelby come out and say, you guys are all crazy. See?
You might get that on Monday. He's supposed to... I believe they announced this on this past Monday's Raw, that Dr. Shelby is coming back for to evaluate Kane and Daniel Bryan.
A progress report.
I'm tuning in probably just for that. Just for the nonsense that's going to come out of that. And I have a feeling that Dr. Shelby's going to need the lovely white jacket with the extra long sleeves when we're done. So, okay, guys, I've got good news and bad news.
Bad news first.
We have to talk about TNA. And you say, but there can't be any good news if it comes to TNA. Actually, there is.
Oh?
TNA is finally understanding that you just can't put a pay-per-view on every month and expect to make money. Or at least in TNA's case, they can't. Because they're putting all this together and 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people buy it because the rest of the people are streaming it. So they're changing the model a little bit. They're doing little one-night-only events that will air on the first Friday of the month. And let's see. And these would cover in months that they are not going to actually show pay-per-views, because they're not going to have a pay-per-view every month. So, unfortunately, these are all going to be pre-taped, which means the spoilers are going to go out there. And Trista, that just defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
A little bit. Not that TNA is known for making smart decisions, but hey, that's what they want to do, that's what they can do. They're going to cut down the pay-per-views, so the money that you weren't spending on them, you can continue to not spend on them, so that's kind of cool.
So, let's see. Here are some of the ideas that they've got for the taped pay-per-views. This is per PW Insider, which was the story was picked up by WrestleChat. Our fine sponsors, WrestleChat.net. One of these will be a X Division only thing called TNA X Travestiganza, yeah. TNA Joker's Wild Tag Team Special featuring enemies teaming in a Battle Royale final. These will be taped on January the 13th to air in April and May. We will have the spoilers by Monday. So, it's just not going to help. They are going to try to do another Hardcore Justice ECW tribute show. Guys, it's not going to work. Didn't you learn your lesson from the original Hardcore Justice?
Can we get Uncle Paul just to do a tout video or something and say, please don't tune into TNA, it's garbage.
It's hot garbage, and it's, you know, it's the fact that they can't even say, you know, they can't even talk about the promotion because of the potential copyright violations, and the fact that WWE, if they deigned to take the time to listen to it, could go in there and say, you know what, you know, you mentioned something that we own. Hand over your library and nobody gets hurt. What else have we got here? The TNA 10 reunion. Stars from the early days of TNA in a six-sided ring. Funny, I thought Hogan burned it. Seriously, Stapboy, I thought the six-sided... I know they brought the six-sided ring back once since Hogan's taken over, but I thought he found a way to get rid of it completely.
Well, apparently he didn't. I think it's still being used in some other places, but I'm not sure.
Let's see. TNA Knockouts Knockdown, a one-night knockouts tournament, with the first round being all stipulation matches and the final four in a test of stamina to see who is the final victor. Now, test of their stamina is in quotes.
They're going to be running on treadmills the whole time in sports bras.
Shane, Statboy, I'm waiting to hear ideas from you guys.
For what?
How would you test a bunch of knockout stamina? Trampolines? Jump rope?
Fatal four-way?
Statboy, you need to get out
more. I've really got no comment.
Oh, no. I'm trying to make a legitimate answer, not a you perv answer, because... Oh, I know ways to test their fortitude, if you know what I mean.
Thus.
Oh, God. I don't know. I just say get, like, for Stop. Don't turn into WWE with the women's division. Just give them a friggin' ring and let them wrestle. Jesus.
Well, I think what's going to happen, and I'll give the serious answer, Statboy. It's if they're going to test their stamina, could a multi-person last man standing match work?
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, you can have that, or you can have women Iron Man matches and things like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. There's ways to do it without getting pervy, but I just know exactly how that's going to get twisted. I'm not even going to go look at the board, Statboy.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get squeaky knowing the board.
It's going to get squeaky no matter what, and I'll probably have to ban someone. Please let it be Cursey Flush, please. Oops, am I letting things out of the bag?
That's all right. Just, leave Efsin last call. No, I'm sorry. Anyway, I'll send you the list of people that I'd rather you not ban. But anyway... also on the list, TNA International Incident, a one-night tournament featuring talent from the States, India, Mexico, Ireland, Canada, Germany, Japan, and the UK, with the winner earning a TNA title shot.
So I see Sanjay's going to be back.
And Rob Terry's going to get a number one contendership.
And Pete Williams.
Yay!
Petey Williams is going to be back anyway, especially for the upcoming X Division show.
Yay!
Same deal with the last ever appearance in TNA from one Jerry Lynn!
Who, by the way, is doing a farewell show here in Minneapolis in late March. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I will not be working the event. I do plan on attending in support of Mr. Lynn. So, when we get around to that show, I will go ahead and give some of the results and maybe post a few pictures. Let's see, what else do I have on this list? TNA X Division World Cup Tournament. 4 teams of X Division wrestlers in a one-night tournament for singles, tag, 6-man, and 8-man tag bouts. Hey.
Well, there you go, once again, places where Sonjay Dutt can make a return, Low-Key can make a return, friggin' Petey Williams.
And then the last one is the World Cup of Wrestling. 4 teams, each captained by a TNA wrestler featuring a heavyweight, a tag team, and an X Division wrestler, battling in singles, tag, and stipulation bouts. The finale will be a 2-ring triple chance battle royal.
That
sounds
chance?
Too WCW for me.
That sounds too.
Well, it's Hogan that's booking it. What do you expect?
That sounds awful Russo to me.
Yeah, but we all know Hogan and Russo are on the same page. Come on.
Yeah, but Russo's not even there.
Exactly. Where is he? So he passed his skills on to Hogan. Take it.
He texts his ideas to Hogan, and then Hogan pitches them, and TNA is like, that's a great idea.
Ugh. So, let's see. Ooh. If anybody is terminally bored on Sunday, TNA has a pay-per-view going on.
What?
Pass.
Genesis is this Sunday.
Yes, and I've got the matches right here in front of me.
Since I don't think anybody here has watched TNA on a regular basis, I cannot justify torturing Statboy with having to do pick'ems for it.
Please, no. Admittedly, there's only 4 pay-per-views now, so it's a lot easier to deal with, but...
Right, they...
Nobody's following it still.
Right. So what the, it's just, it's, I give TNA points for going ahead and trying to cut down, expenses by doing a big 4. But these little one night only things are not going to bring in anything, especially since it only takes about two, it takes less than 2 hours for spoiler, for the spoiler tags to start hitting the boards.
Mm-hmm.
These little Friday night pay-per-views are priced at $14.95, which, unless they generate, you know, enough interest, I still don't see a lot of people putting the money down. I see them putting the bandwidth down.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis and Lockdown will be priced at $34.95, which is reasonable. Slammiversary and all live pay-per-views that follow will be at priced at $39.95. Bound for Glory will be the exception. Will now be priced up to $44.99. This is via PW Insider, and I have never spent a dime on TNA, and I'm not about to start. Trista, would you, even with the $14.95 price point, would that even?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
I have a couple other DVDs, but I would like to say I never bought any of them. They were all received as gifts, but I've never bought a TNA pay-per-view, and I'm not going to start now, so.
The last time I bought a TNA pay-per-view, the year was 2007. And that was with other people.
I've attended a few TNA pay-per-views, including the disaster that was Lockdown 2007.
Ugh, I remember seeing that. I think that was the last one I ever saw.
And I was at Bound for Glory 06, which I had a wonderful time, and I plunked down the money for the DVDs only because my mug is all over it.
Yeah. I still have yet to get my money back from that house show that was supposed to be in Toledo.
They still haven't refunded your money?
Nope. 6+ years later.
You ain't seeing it. It ain't coming back.
Yeah, but I did get an interview with Hemi and Damore that never got recorded.
Boo!
I hate you, Makamura.
Now speaking of guests and interviews, I'm gonna posit something to you guys before we call it a night. Who here knows of the artist Kappa Aimé? I've talked about him a couple times on the show.
Yeah.
He has a new, very short animation making poking fun at 3MB. And he hasn't done as much with the wrestling animations anymore, although he has admitted he needs to get some. He needs to start working on new chibis. Because he does not have one for Damian Sandow yet. Shame on you, sir. And needs to get a few more of those new faces added to his list. If you have not seen his work, I recommend you looking him up on DeviantArt. Don't worry, his stuff is clean.
Boo.
I follow him on Twitter, and would anybody be interested in me trying to get him on the show for an interview?
Sure.
Wouldn't be against it.
Can't judge him, so go for it.
Well, let me... I'll give this to you then. And I promise, anything that... All the stuff that he has, Shane, is clean. Some of it uses actual... Some of it uses actual audio. Sometimes he uses chibi chipmunk voices, depending on what he... You know, depending on the subject. Mm-hmm. I can recommend his 2010 work, all of his stuff with the Nexus, and his cartoons depicting the first Shawn Michaels Undertaker feud. Just amazing, amazing stuff. He also did a Rumble 1 year, and he actually did his own version of all the eliminations. It's good mindless stuff, and he's actually starting to get published in other places. And I really, you know, if I can get a hold of him, I would love to have him on the show. We might have to do it at a different time since he is in Portugal, which, as of our recording time, it is the sun's coming up over there.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Well, it's what, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning there?
It's 5:12 a.m. right now.
It's so still dark, still.
So, yeah. So, it is very early there, but it is very late here. So, before we call it a night, Trista, do you have anything to promote?
Just my Twitter. Still at 521, all spelled O-F-I-V-E-T-W-E-N-T-Y-O-N-E. That is everything. Follow me. I'm really uninteresting.
Shane, do you have anything to promote?
No, I don't. Not at the moment.
Stat boy?
Nope, I've got nothing.
Hey, Muckamuck, you want to promote something? That sounds like a no to me.
He wants to promote tacos.
Oh, no. Sorry. He did send me a request. So this is from our high muckety muck.
Therapy.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
No. And this is for Jim.
How are you?
So, to that, I think we should call it a night. I think we've covered about everything we were thinking about covering. So, for Statboy Josh Henniger, for Shane Beeman, for Trista Timpson, for our silent high muckety muck, my name is Nikki Heyman. I didn't have anything to promote because I am right here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, provided by the CLW83 Network. Until next time, good fight, good night.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLWA3 Network. Tune in